You're listening to the Becoming a Great Dad podcast, where we help dads go from being good to great. I'm Chris Bode, your host and a dad to four beautiful children. In each episode, we'll talk about real issues that dads deal with, giving them tips and strategies along the way to help them be the best dad they can be. You can listen to all our episodes and get more content by connecting with us at becomingagreatdad.com. So now, let's buckle up and join me as we navigate this crazy thing called fatherhood. Dads, fathers, mentors, gentlemen, welcome back for another great season of the Becoming a Great Dad podcast. Look, first I want to thank everyone who has subscribed or listened so far. You know, I mean, this really started out just as an idea. I actually didn't see this going past a couple episodes, but here we are, you know, in season two, and we've already done, in my opinion, a great season one with 16 episodes. And, you know, I'm so humbled, that so many dads have reached out with words of encouragement, you know, help me keep this thing going. And, you know, and I'll be honest, you know, I was really energized and pumped up when I kind of ended season one and started working on ideas for season two. And during the break, you know, I really got just a punch in the gut. And, you know, the break meaning, you know, like from the time I stopped season one and finished that episode up until now, it's actually been some months, you know. And I've really had a lot of, struggles just in a bunch of places, whether it be personally, professionally, creatively, and even as a dad, that have really, you know, kind of knocked me on the mat, so to speak. And, you know, it was a very hard thing for me to even record this podcast. I didn't even have the motivation to continue the podcast. But I tell you this, what I've learned by doing this podcast is two things. One, personally for me, you know, this has been very therapeutic to talk about my life and open up about, you know, what I do as a father. And two, you know, I know I'm not the only one out there, you know. I know there's a father out there who, you know, is having a rough family situation. You know, it's not like what you see in the movies. It's hard. It hurts. He's tired. He's not perfect. You know, maybe his kids have given up on him. Maybe he's given up on himself. And I totally understand that because, you know, for all the success I've had as a father, I've also had a lot of failures. And so, you know, I know what that means to feel like that you have given up on yourself. And, you know, I may be slow, but I'm definitely going to pick myself up off the mat and, you know, dust myself off and stop procrastinating. And I finally was able to record this episode, which has a great title, by the way. And shout out to my wife, Toya, because she's the one who actually gave me this title because I didn't know what to call it. But we're going to dive into loving your kids unconditionally no matter what, and what to do when the no matter what arrives. And I'd like to start off with a story, you know, to kind of give us some context. And if you are Catholic or Christian, you definitely know the story. It is the prodigal son story. And I'm going to tell you the story. I know we have a lot of guys listening from around the world. So, you know, don't want to take for credit as you know it. But, you know, this is a biblical story that Jesus told. And let me tell you one thing about Jesus real quick. I love that he was an amazing storyteller. And he was able to give so much wisdom and give us so much feedback about life and, in this story, fatherhood, in a parable. And to be able to explain all these complex emotional things and constructs with the story. And so, you know, this is what I'm going to use today. Can I get a little kind of story background music? Okay, could I get something a little more maybe cinematic, a little more dreamy-ish? Ah, okay, that's perfect. Okay, good. All right. This story is called The Prodigal Son. Now, in this story, there's a father who has two sons. And the father is a very rich and well-off-to-do man. He has gold and houses and livestock. And one day, the younger son goes to the father and asks him for his portion of the inheritance. And so the father grants his son's request. And the story is called The Prodigal Son because prodigal means wasteful and extravagant. And so thus the younger son goes out and he squanders the entire fortune, all the money his dad had given him, and eventually becomes destitute. And he gets so low and is on such bad terms that one day, while he realizes the pigs he's feeding are eating better than him, he comes to the conclusion he has to go back home. He must return back home empty-handed with nothing to show for it. And so, to punish himself as a consequence, he didn't even want to go back as his father's son. He was going to go back and ask his dad for mercy and forgiveness, but to be accepted back as a servant so he could repay his father's debt that he had squandered away. And so as the young man journeyed down the road to go back home, his father saw him a distance away down the road and went running to him. He went running to his son with arms wide open. And to the son's surprise, he wasn't scorned or wasn't talked down to, but his father welcomed him back, and they had a celebration and a welcoming party. And the oldest son was so mad, he refused to take part in the party and festivities. And so the father finally turned to his older son and said, "Look, you've been here with me always. All that I have, this land, these riches, the animals, the livestock, it's all yours. But your younger brother was lost, and now he's found." Now that we've heard that story, just kind of give you a short story about me, real quick. And as many of you know, my son, Chris, was 15. I think I've talked about him many times on the podcast. Decided a few months ago that he wanted to stay with his mother indefinitely, and not live with me anymore, but, you know, stay with her, you know, for the time being. And, you know, just to give you a little background, you know, his mother and I have shared custody of him and have had shared custody of him since he was 5. And we've kind of, you know, split it down the middle, you know, so we've kind of had equal time with him throughout the week and on the weekends. And, you know, I would say that I'm a real hands-on kind of dad. You know, when he was in, you know, Cub Scouts, I was a Cub Master. Or, like, for example, when he started playing baseball, I was the assistant coach and had coached him, shucks, probably for at least 4 or 5 years. And we even won a championship together. And, you know, when he made that decision, I'll be honest, I was very hurt, you know, by him not living with me. I felt like he was robbing me of being a dad, and I really fell into a deep depression, and I got really angry about it. And when I look back at things. You know, it wasn't, you know, one thing that made it happen. Now, you know, I will say that, you know, there was an incident that was the catalyst, or, you know, in layman's terms, you know, was like, you know, the last straw. But what it really boils down to, and this is something, if you co-parent, you know, I think you understand, in that no matter how well you try to make, you know, things seamless between two different households, you're always going to have two different places with two different sets of rules. You know, each one is going to have their own way of doing things. They're going to have their own values, their own culture. And you know what happened was, you know, my son made a choice and picked an environment that was easier for him. And that one decision kind of set off a bunch of chain reactions that really reverberated throughout the family. And I remember it left me feeling like I had failed as a dad. And it was one of the evenings, I think I was kind of sitting in my bed. You know, I had just kind of wasted my day away. And I heard this faint voice, like really faint. And it said to me, "And now you'll learn how to love him unconditionally." So what does that mean? You know, I think the second part of the title of the podcast is brilliant. You know, because what does that mean when the quote unquote "no matter what" arrives, right? I think sometimes as parents, we can definitely be spoiled by what I would call the adolescent years of our children. You know, for example, okay, I have two younger kids, right? 1 8, 1 3. They love me, y'all. They love everything about me. They hang on every word I say. For example, okay, when I come home from work, these kids literally lose it. Okay, I mean, they go bat crazy. And yes, I'm bleeping this out because this is a family podcast, but trust me, they go bananas. Okay, the instant that they hear me coming through the front door, and they're normally upstairs, Bean is the first one. She makes a beeline downstairs and she goes crazy. "Daddy, daddy." I mean, she's just, you know, she's just super excited to see me. And then, you know, maybe a few seconds later, Emmanuel comes down and he's kind of like doing a little jig. "Daddy," you know, doing "daddy," you know, and they're just so excited just to see me when I come home. I brought them nothing. I did nothing. I made no promises. I literally just walked through the door like I was at work maybe all of 6, 7 hours, 8 hours. You know, they saw me when I got up. You know, I told them bye, I loved them. And I came home 7 hours later and they literally are losing it. And you know, when I think about this, or when we think about this in, you know, in terms of having, you know, sons and daughters, we are really their heroes. And you know, we spend years and years, and you know, and just to kind of frame it up for you, let's say a decade, okay? You know, we spend a decade loving a person, teaching them, coaching them, mentoring them. And think about that for a second. We take a whole decade, the first decade of their life, where we are kind of building this bond, right? And we're building this closeness, this friendship. And when you think about it, we really don't have to practice unconditional love during that time because there was no need to. You know, like the example of when I come home, they hang on every word that I say and I lap it up. You know, but after a decade, something interesting starts to happen with your children, you know, and you know them like the back of your hand, but there's a change that kind of starts to occur. You know, you may stay the, you know, like the same adult, same person, but now you have this other person in the relationship that starts to change as they enter their, preteen and teenage years. You know, and before that time, think about it. We are not used to getting the cold shoulder. You know, we're not used to, you know, having the boyfriend or the girlfriend that takes up all of their time, or the new friends that just totally dismantle everything you taught them. You know, we haven't been told that we're hated. We haven't been told that the dinner that we cooked or the lunch that we made, they don't like it. You know, we have just, you know, spent a lot of sweat, money, time, and energy that's poured into them. And then all of a sudden, it's like, wait, what's going on? And, you know, I've learned during this time for me that, dads are people too. You know, we have feelings and, you know, we have emotions and we get hurt. And we invest so much time and energy, I think, into our kids and, you know, trying to make them happy and, you know, trying to make their lives better, you know, than ours, that, you know, sometimes we get slapped in the face. You know, not literally, but emotionally. And, you know, my point to all this is that dads and really all parents is that, you know, this is around the time, that we should really start to look out for the no matter what to arrive. And we really should prepare for it. You know, now, yeah, with some kids, it may happen earlier than, you know, the teen years or later on. You know, for me personally, I can say I was blindsided. You know, I don't know if I didn't think it would happen or if I wasn't ready for it. But I think if I had better prepared myself for the quote unquote no matter what moment, you know, I would have been in a better spot to handle it.
And now, a word from our sponsor.
Thank you for listening to the podcast so far. Now, if you like what you heard, and if you want to support the show even further, check out our shop at becomingagreatdad.com. We've got the best dad gear that any father would want. Shirts, hoodies, mugs, sweatshirts, hats, and a ton more. They make a great gift for the father in your life, or if you're just looking up your dad gear, we got what you need. So again, you can visit us at becomingagreatdad.com and click on the shop section of our website. And you know, when I dug into the story of the prodigal son, I realized it was such a beautiful story about unconditional love. But I think it also showed that unconditional love can be activated. And I thought it'd be interesting to just talk about real quick the viewpoint of the story from the father, you know, like from his standpoint. Because there were a couple takeaways that, you know, in looking through the optics of the father's eyes that I realized. The first one was that, you know, the son went to his dad and asked for the inheritance, asked for the money. So, you know, that would tell me that the son couldn't have been a boy. You know, he couldn't have been a young man. He couldn't have even been a preteen. He had to be in, you know, his teenage or later years to have the wherewithal to, one, you know, get the money, but also to spend the money on, you know, things that are out there. You know, wine, women, whatever the case may be. The other thing is that, you know, the son did something that I think most fathers or all fathers fear, is that the son went totally against everything the dad instilled in him. I mean, if you look at the story, he had two sons. And at the end, he told the oldest son, look, you've always been here with me. So that tells me that these sons, you know, they were, you know, they were with him when he was doing business. They were with him checking on the stables. Like, he was grooming his sons and teaching them about, you know, good work ethic. And the youngest son just totally was like, forget you, Dad. I'm going to go off and take this money and do whatever, you know? And how hard was it for the father to say, you know what, son, here, take all this money and go live the life you want. You know, I think it takes a lot of courage to let your children or your child go off and to see them about to make mistakes that they don't need to make. You know, and I think this father, the father in this story, showed us, you know, what unconditional love truly is. Right? And we've been kind of throwing that word around for a while. You know, so, you know, what is it actually? And it's simply loving someone without conditions. Meaning, look, I'm going to offer you my love and support without seeking repayment. And that repayment can be, you know, of love, of emotional support, of, you know, time or money. You know, now that doesn't mean it is without, you know, bounds or limits. You know, you can still love someone unconditionally, but set boundaries up so they don't take advantage of you. You know, like, for example, you know, like if, like, let's say you got a child with, you know, a drug problem, you know, you can love them unconditionally, but you may have to set some boundaries to protect, you know, you and the family. And if we go back to, you know, the story again, there's, I think there's a big part that was left out. All right. Think about this for a second. The son just didn't wake up one day and say, hey, Dad, I want your money, so I'm going to spend it. No. The son probably had to sneak out on a donkey or whatever they had during those times, go out in town and get a little taste of wine. You know, maybe had, you know, maybe he, let's say, gambled a little bit. You know, maybe he brought a couple women and got a taste of that life and then loved it. And I'm sure, you know, before the money axe came, I'm sure the dad found out about this, him sneaking out. I'm sure they argued back and forth about it. And the dad probably felt like, look, you know, you aren't honoring the family by going out and doing these things. And so in the end, the son was like, look, dude, the hell with it. Just give my money. You know, let me go and live the life I want to live. And look at what the father did. Did he fight him? He didn't fight him. Did he beg his son to stay in the kingdom? Did he try to persuade him and say, well, son, if you do this, then this is going to happen? He didn't even threaten him. His unconditional love was saying, okay, son, you're old enough. You can make this request, you know, like by law or something. If this is what you want, I will give you this money. But let me just point this out real quick. Here is the boundaries or the limitations that the dad put on him. Because the dad said, look, here's the money. But the dad, either the dad told him this or it was an unwritten rule that you can have this money, but you must leave these lands. Like, you must leave this land. You cannot, I cannot give you this money and you stay with me. Because think about it. If the dad would have given him all the money and let the son continue to, you know, go out in town and then come back to the home and live with them, the father would have, you know, been opening himself up to continuous hurt. Because obviously the younger son's actions was a dishonor to his family. And so, you know, I think the interesting thing about that is that, you know, he showed that we all have the capacity for that kind of love, and it can be activated as needed. You know, if you ask me right now, excuse me, Chris, do you love your kids? I say, yep, straight up, I love them to death, no doubt about it. But when you love someone unconditionally, you're saying, hey, you know what? You know, that hurt me, but you know, I am willing to give you my love without looking to get something back. So what does the practice of loving someone unconditionally actually look like? You know, I like a lot of times on the podcast to talk about examples. You know, I'm a visual learner and I like to paint a visual picture, or I like to talk about the practical application of some of these, you know, these not complex, but, you know, very emotional topics. Right. So what does it look like in practice to love someone unconditionally? And these are the four things I realized that with my son, Chris, I started to do to put it into practice. And the first one was, of course, setting boundaries. Right. After all that happened, I think some weeks had passed by, and we finally got a chance to sit down and talk to each other, and tempers had kind of died down. And I said, look, I said, you are welcomed back in this house. You are always welcome back home. You know, just like the prodigal son father, this is your kingdom as well. But the boundary is that, you know, if and when you are ready and willing to come back home, there is going to be some conversations that need to be had. And those conversations are more than likely going to be uncomfortable conversations for everyone to have. But they must be had, you know. One thing I want to teach him is, you know, you don't run away from your problems. You face them head on. And sometimes as a man, that means having uncomfortable conversations that you don't want to have. You know, now if you're, you know, ready to do that, okay. If not, I understand. The second thing was understanding, even throughout all of this, you know, all the emotional part of it, the pain, the hurt, that he still needed a father. My oldest daughter, Heaven, had asked me this a couple days ago. And it was ironic because, you know, every year I take my sons on an annual father and son camping trip. And we normally take it about the third week of October. And it's coming up, you know. And she asked me if I was still going on it, you know, the trip. And if I was still taking him. And I said, yeah, you know, I am. You know, we're still going. And, you know, and she looked at me, you know, and just kind of asked why. And I know the why. You know, she asked why from a standpoint of, man, like, isn't that going to hurt? Or isn't that going to be awkward for you? And I stopped for a second to really think about my answer. And I said, you know, I said, what kind of father would I be, or what kind of message would I send if, you know, I had an issue, or, you know, something happened between me and one of my children, you know, that was, you know, some conflict. And I said, you know what, because of that, I don't want to feel uncomfortable. I don't want to do this tradition that we've been doing for the past 11, 12 years. That we always look forward to, that, you know, that allow us some bonding time. You know, I understood that even throughout this time and this pain, he still needs me as a father. The third thing is that, you know, I had to reframe the relationship. You know, I had to understand, look, just because he's not living with me, you know, our relationship is not, you know, dead in the water. It just, you know, for me, it's a new chapter of the relationship, and that new chapter is yet to be written yet. And then the fourth thing is, you know, always letting them know that even though things are rough, that you are still here for them. He recently, started at a brand new school, and, you know, normally, you know, we treat the first day of school as a big event, you know. And, you know, this year I wasn't able, you know, to see him off on his first day of school. But I did write him a letter prior to his first day. And, you know, in the letter I talked about, you know, how, you know, change is difficult. And I talked about how, you know, he has a new living situation and a new school and new teachers and new friends. But the one constant in all of this is that I am still here for you if you need me. And so, you know, those are things that I kind of put in practice, you know, once I realized, okay, I'm going to have to start loving this boy unconditionally. You know, those are the kind of four things that I did to make sure that I had practice at that. Now, in the prodigal son story, you know, the son, you know, the son comes home and the father embraces him with open arms. And, you know, sometimes stories don't have a happy ending. you know, and my son has still not, you know, come home yet. And, and I think that's okay. You know, I think the important thing is, like the other father in the story, is that, you know, I have, you know, come at peace, I guess you could say, right? I'm at peace with understanding that I have instilled a lot of great values in my son. And just because he is not with me does not mean that, you know, I will stop being his dad. You know, I still have a duty to him. And if he needs me, you know, I'll be there whenever he needs me. You know, I just say this to say that as dads, you know, I think we should enjoy the moments with our children, and we should also prepare for the storms ahead. You know, we as fathers need to be prepared. I mean, even if it's like, you know, if we're going on a camping trip, or if we're going on a road trip or a ship, there are certain things that, you know, we wouldn't leave without, or we wouldn't get ready without as dads. And, you know, we need to be prepared for these kind of moments when they do come. You know, one thing I think I am so grateful of is, you know, now after this has all happened, you know, we have a very transparent relationship, you know, where sometimes you're afraid to tell your kids certain things. You know, now it's like, hey, the gloves are off, and I can talk to you as a son, but also as a man. And it's nothing that, you know, is bad or hurtful or hurtful. It's just that things that, you know, I may have been afraid to say out loud, things that he may have been afraid to say out loud, and the transparency of it is a thing of beauty. And also to understand that, you know, it's really, you know, it's really my perspective in how this all plays out. And it's really teaching me that, you know, there are so many different ways and so many different levels to really being a good father. As always, y'all, thank you for listening to the podcast. And before we go, I want to give a quick shout out to our daughter, Heaven Bodie, who recently relaunched her podcast, Heavy Hitters. You can find it on all the major streaming platforms, you know, Apple, Spotify, Anchor, Google. Here's a quick little snippet of what you may get, the wisdom or the gem dropping, as I call it, from her podcast.
So with that being said, this episode is all about gratitude. And gratitude is so important. That is something that I struggled with right along with patience. Patience, I'm still learning. That is, to me, a lifelong lesson, is learning patience, especially being an entrepreneur, especially being a student. Especially being a parent, especially being a sibling, a friend, all of like it, patience and gratitude is like a lifelong lesson. You think you're going to get to this point where it's like,
I listened to the first episode and I got the second one queued up, and I'm telling you, I'm not only proud but also blown away. She's young but has a bunch of wisdom and talks about life and how to navigate it and entrepreneurship on her podcast. So definitely, you know, hit it up, subscribe. There'll be a link to her podcast in the episode as well too, so you can click on it and subscribe to it. And that'll be the third podcaster in the house. So if we can just get the dog and the other two kids, if we can get them on a podcast, or then we might break some kind of record. But just a few quick shout outs. You can visit our website at becomingagreatdad.com. You can also follow us on Instagram at becomingagreatdad. And if you want to support the show, I always ask people to either subscribe or like it on Apple or like it on Instagram, or even just send the link to a dad that you know, a father, a mentor who will get something out of this. And if you really like what you heard, I would encourage you to go to the website and check out our merchandise. We got a lot of great dad gear for you to buy there and support the show. Until next time.